Welcome to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
I think that this world, it needs men that are willing to make the hard call.
Central Maine's best comics podcast, by default.
Ain't no thing like me, Stephanie.
Here are your hosts, Zach and Jared.
Matt's coming. No. When do we start?
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Sad times. Halloween is over. We're just here normally. We're back to normal programming.
That's still spooky.
It's just colder.
It was cold on Halloween. It's cold and rainy.
Yeah, but now we're almost to winter, and
it's supposed to snow this week.
I know. I'm just trying to get all the leaves up that I can.
I haven't even gotten anywhere close to doing that.
Before we get started, we should have done this as the show, because I have a lot to say, but I'm going to condense it.
Okay, I'm listening.
Terminator was out this weekend.
Was it now?
Yeah.
You don't say.
You might not know, because no one saw it.
I didn't see it.
It is a certified bomb.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Well, you saw it.
I did see it.
So, I mean, you tried to help it not bomb.
And guess what? Pretty good. It's the best Terminator 3 I've ever seen.
Do you think it's going to be... Wow, that says a lot. There's a lot to unpack in that statement. So are you saying, like, is it going to become a cult classic?
No, I think it's just going to kill the franchise for a while.
I mean, Genesis didn't.
This is doing worse than that.
Well, that's fair.
I think Genesis didn't help anything.
Well, no, it certainly didn't. It did not advance the cause.
But it's totally solid. It's not great, but it's better than I thought it was going to be. Also, the more I sat with it and thought about it, the more I liked it.
Oh, okay. Would you watch it again?
Oh, 100%.
Are you going to purchase it when it becomes available on device?
Maybe.
Oh, well.
If I have that kind of disposable income at the time, we'll see.
Why do you think it's not doing well?
I think probably Genesis didn't help anything. There was just another Terminator almost immediately.
How was it doing on like Rotten Tomatoes or?
The reviews have been decent. I haven't looked at the audience score. I have no idea. But it has maybe 4 action set pieces. They're all great. The characters, for the most part, are interesting. There's one, the girl that they're trying to save. She doesn't get a ton to do. But, I mean, she's not bad. She just goes... get a lot of play.
Okay.
But everyone's great. Linda Hamilton is great. Arnold's great. The new enhanced person is great.
Is it, because I haven't seen it, let me throw out a guess. Is it like Terminator Logan?
No, because Arnold is the opposite of Logan. He's not sad.
But is it like a similar concept?
No, they're just older.
Okay.
It's overall, it's pretty strong. It's not great. It's not, because Terminator 2, like top to bottom, that movie's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But it's totally serviceable. I enjoy it. I'm definitely going to watch it again.
All right.
I'd say see it in theaters if you can, because no one else is.
I'm not.
But if it doesn't do well, this could set up more movies, but it could also act as a cap if you wanted it to.
All right.
I like that it wasn't like totally open-ended. Like Genesis ends the movie like, and we're going on another adventure. Dun, 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 dun. Da, 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 da. This one, they wrap it up pretty tightly, but they could definitely do more.
Yeah, so no loose ends.
I mean, there's still a looming apocalypse, but beyond that.
Oh, so the apocalypse didn't happen.
Well, the Skynet one didn't happen.
No.
We saw that. That was Terminator 2. They stopped Judgment Day.
Did they now?
They did, but then something else happened.
Oh, well, oops.
I could have used some clarification on that because it's still kind of vague, but whatever.
Yes.
It's a good movie.
All right.
Go see Terminator Dark Fate. Terrible name. Pretty good movie.
I like that was like, that's the preamble. That wasn't even part of news.
No, that was just, I wanted to sneak it in because I watched it and I enjoyed it.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Zach.
No, it's not a bad thing at all.
Oh.
I'm totally content just sitting back, watching a thing.
There's nothing wrong with going to the movies by yourself.
No, not at all. Turning off your phone.
How many people were in the theater with you?
Oh, I wouldn't say it was packed.
Oh, but it wasn't empty.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't like a private screening of Terminator.
How cool would that have been for you, though?
Weird, probably more than anything. I've been in a couple theaters like that, like over the years. Of like, there may be like 2 or 3 other people in there.
Yeah.
I've never been like by myself. I've never had that happen.
I don't think I have. No, I haven't either. But I've been like 4 or 5 total people. Yeah.
But I guess that's it. That's not related to anything. Just wanted to get that out there. What are we doing this week? We're doing the news. Watchmen's back, baby. It's all over the place. It's the year of Watchmen and giant blue dildos, apparently. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
What?
Oh, one of the characters in the Watchmen TV series, which is why we're doing this.
Well, I know that's why we're doing it, but...
has a gigantic blue dildo shaped like Dr. Manhattan because, you know...
Wait, it's shaped like his member man or is, yeah, like himself?
Oh, no, no.
Like he's the...
No, it's not him, but it's just giant and blue, and it looks like...
Like a penis?
No, like the balloons that like clowns would tie off to like give your kid a sword. It's like that kind of shape. It's weird.
Oh, there's way too. This is going to be the dong episode. I can just tell.
That's a weird thing that they did, though. And the reason I haven't seen the show, so I can't speak to it. I only saw a still of it where it's in the creator was like, well, once you've been like the world's greatest man, how can you ever like possibly date anyone else and want anything else?
Oh, so Silver Spectre has it.
Silk Spectre.
Close enough. Don't expect me to be accurate with the names. I tried. Are you Googling it right now?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, better you than me in my search history. Wow, she's old.
Oh, it's a sequel series.
It's also like...
Told you, it looks like a balloon animal.
Not only that, it's like a foot and a half long. It's a large blue cylinder.
Yes, it is. So we're going to talk Watchmen this week in comics history, sports, and your questions. Star Wars questions. Tease for later.
Okay.
But let's just jump right into the news. It's not right into the news. Took a while to get there, but the news time.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's time for the news.
Spider-Verse has a date.
Does it now?
Well, maybe they're going to date in the movie because that's how the maybe ended. But 2022 doesn't surprise me. Seems like a normal amount of time to do a movie as complicated as the first one was. Give yourself like 3.5 years.
That's not that bad.
No, seems like a normal amount of time. I think they're probably pumping it out as quick as they can if they're trying to do something as good as that movie was.
Don't force it upon us.
One that I was a little bit surprised by, there's no date on this yet, but Marvel has announced that they have hired Peyton Reed back to direct Ant-Man 3. So there's going to be an Ant-Man 3.
All right.
I wasn't convinced there was going to be. What are you looking up?
I was just trying to find something to shock you with, but...
I don't need that.
Oh, why not?
Yeah, Ant-Man 3 is happening, probably in Phase 4.
Talk about action figure.
That can't be real. That has to be a custom job. There were definitely Watchmen toys, but there was none of Dr. Manhattan without pants.
Oh, well. Happy Christmas.
No, I don't know. I was kind of surprised. The movie did okay, and I enjoy the Ant-Man movies well enough. They're totally fine, but I thought like, maybe only two of them. Apparently not. Apparently we're going to get a whole trilogy. But no, I enjoy Paul Rudd. He's an ageless man. Michael Douglas is going to be back being old and grumpy.
Well, he's back from, being in the snap zone, the blip.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they kind of go weird with this one. Like, they've had sequences of weirdness, but I want to go with more weirdness. Stop messing with my cables.
Sorry. That was annoying me. Thank you.
Your headphone cable was stuck in the couch.
Yes, it was.
Casting rumors not confirmed, but why not? Let's throw them out there. Wild speculation.
Oh, good. Let's just perpetuate the rumor mill.
For the Batman.
Oh, yes. Please tell me.
Originally, Jonah Hill was up for the Penguin, and then he turned it down for whatever reason. Well, you want to know who they're courting now?
Seth Rogen?
Most obvious choice from Jonah Hill.
Oh, wait. Let me try and guess.
You're not getting there.
Oh. Give me a hint.
Irish.
Charlie Hunnam?
No.
I don't think he's Irish, though. He's Scottish, I think.
He's done comic book stuff before, like 2 decades ago. I guess.
No.
Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
What? But he was Bullseye.
I know.
I don't like it.
The most handsome penguin ever.
I don't like it. You're not supposed to be. Well, I mean, feel bad about it. You're not supposed to be a good-looking penguin. Danny DeVito and Jonah Hill. Sorry.
I threw Jonah Hill under the bus.
Oops.
Whatever. I generally like him and stuff. Not everything, but...
Jonah Hill?
I generally like him and stuff, too. But Colin Farrell? Everything. Yeah, they both kind of fall under that umbrella. Generally like them. Mm. But he's good, I mean...
Well, they can do anything with, like, CGI and...
Yeah, I think they'll just maybe just have him be a gangster called the Penguin for some reason. Maybe it's not because he looks like a bulb.
Maybe he'll walk around like he's clinching one in.
He's just not going to look like a gourd, and that's fine.
Danny DeVito didn't look like a gourd, though. He just looked hideous.
Like he could roll him down a hill.
Yeah, kind of like that kid in Hook.
Whatever, go with a dapper penguin. I like Colin Farrell. In Bruges is good. His performance as Bullseye is the most bonkers thing in the world, and I kind of love that.
He kills a woman on a plane with a pea or a peanut.
Something, yeah. He chews the scenery as hard as he can. So that's I'm sure he's not going to do that for this one, but you never know.
I want a nickname. I want a costume.
And the other casting rumor, I forgot.
Oh, wow. So it must not be that hot of a rumor.
I've remembered.
Yes.
Andy Serkis might be Alfred.
I like it.
I'll accept it.
Yeah, especially where he's like, he can just be kind of a normal character.
No CG for this one.
Yeah, exactly.
No strange South African accent.
Yeah, I'm all in on it.
I do love that performance.
Yes.
His claw. So sad they shot him.
Yeah, cut his arm right off. Oh, sorry about that.
I think it's the bullet that really did him in.
That may have done it, yes.
But yeah, why not? I'm kind of on board for both of these casting things. Also, this was rumored before, but it's official. Jeffrey Wright is going to be Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
He's also a guy. Generally like what he does.
Good guy.
Nothing really against him, so go for it. But more the Batman news, if that wasn't enough, the Batman news for you.
Yes.
Robert Pattinson's been reading a bunch of Batman.
Well, as one has want to do when they are playing Batman.
I don't think everyone does that.
Okay, as one should have want to do.
His reaction was, I don't know there were this many.
There are a lot of Batmans.
Yeah, it's like there's thousands of them, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. It's like, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see which ones he reads, and maybe that'll give us a direction where they're heading.
The ones that he said he was reading the new stuff was some of it, Tom King's run, which, although I'm a big fan of the Tom King run, I don't know if that's the run to read for him. And now I'll explain. So it's not. I like Tom King's run quite a bit. A lot of people bash it. I mean, like what you like, I don't really care. But preferably buy it from me. But Tom King's Batman is more of a Batman who's, you know, been at it for a while. He's kind of a PTSD Batman.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Robert Pattinson, just based on age, is going to be guy earlier in his career, and he's not going to have, aside from, you know, the PTSD of his parents' death, isn't going to have the same level that, you know, a guy who's been at this for 15 years has. So good run, but I don't know if it's the one I would point him in the direction of reading. But like you said, there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
So he's got some choices. And now for predicting the future.
Yes.
Doom Patrol, the show that was on DC Universe and still will be on DC Universe, is going to stream dually. It's going to stream on HBO Max and DC Universe.
Go on.
That's the end of it. Speculation. That DC Universe app is going away real soon.
Yeah.
Now that they're owned by AT&T.
I mean,
why have two streaming services? Why not just try to do everything under one umbrella? They've already said HBO is going to get all the live action DC movies, and now they're going to be dual streaming a show. This DC Universe app is not long for the world.
No. No, it's not.
Well, they're canceling Swamp Thing, and yeah.
Well, they were canceling Swamp Thing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if it goes to a different service where they have more money, where they got that HBO money and that AT&T money, maybe they can revive it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say this app is not long for this world. And that's fine. That's what the streaming service thing is going to do. Everyone's going to put one out and...
Streamline it.
They're all going to eat each other.
Nom, 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 nom.
Until one comes out on top. I guess more than one, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but like they'll need to streamline the streaming services.
When NBC's fails, half because it's called Peacock.
Oh, come on. That's not that bad. I mean,
it's a terrible name.
It's not the best name they could have come up with.
No. Hilarious name, but not a good one. I don't care. I'll take the juvenile humor with it. And then, just because it's fitting for today, Doomsday Clock, one of the sequels to Watchmen. There's a comic sequel, there's a TV sequel, but this one, well, this has been going on for about 3 years. A 12-issue run taking 3 years.
Wow.
It's supposedly almost done. We're the home stretch. The colorist is working on it now, and he says he's about wrapped. It's supposed to ship next month. You know, fingers crossed, maybe it will finish this year, and then maybe we can all read it and remember what happened, because the issues have been so sparse, I forget what happens in between them.
So you're just going to... So at this point, you're saying wait for it to come out and trade?
Well, even that, it's taking so damn long, they just released half of it.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be a second half, and then they'll do the whole thing, and then there'll be like 8 billion other like deluxe versions of it down the road. So, yeah, whatever. It's almost done. I think I liked it. I don't remember.
Wow.
It could be like every 3 or 4 months, like, here's another one. Remember? No. Things have happened since then.
I mean, I never really got into it, so I can speak to it. But other than that's going to be really frustrating.
In the time that Doomsday Clock has been going on, marriages have happened and been annulled. There have been divorces from marriages that hadn't taken place yet. That's how long this has been going on.
Wow. Well, I mean, you could probably say that about anything, really.
Yeah. I mean, they even gave it a try for like a year and a half, 2 years, and they decided, you know what, we just didn't know each other well enough. We were too young.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened a lot. That's how much the series has been going on for.
That's a long time.
I know. For 12 issues. But if it's all good put together, then, you know, who cares? No one's going to remember the delays.
Except for you. You're going to be salty about that.
I don't care. All right. Really, if it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
And last little bit of news, we'll squeak it in. Ant-Man is coming back as a series. I should have really put this in with the Ant-Man news,
and you didn't.
As a comic series, he's going to be with his daughter, Cassie Lang, and it's going to be written by one of the guys over on Robot Chicken, Zeb Wells. So if you like Robot Chicken and you like a wacky adventure, Ant-Man. I like Robot Chicken. It's funny.
I haven't watched it in a long, long time, but yes,
I usually just catch like clips of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, here's a 2-minute thing. Like, great, I'll watch that. But that is it for the news. What are you looking up now?
I was just looking at Doomsday Clock.
You're so easily distracted.
I am. Why is Superman's leg disintegrating?
Because John's a watchmaker.
Wait, what? Who's a watchmaker?
Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, John Osterman.
Yeah.
I took a moment, but I connected the two of them. Got it.
You mean after I connected the dots for you?
Well, you know, I'd like to take credit for things sometimes, too.
But that's it for news.
I'm smart. I know things.
We're going to move on to This Week in Comics History.
Superhero Landing coming up.
This Week in Comics History.
This I don't know.
You don't know history?
I know other history, but I don't know comic history. But I'm going to try.
Kind of a short week, but all of them are biggies.
You mean it's not 7 days?
Well, just it's not a huge list of things.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes there's a little, but these are all kind of big ones. This week in 1972, one of the most expensive issues of The Invincible Iron Man came out, number 55. Had two major first appearances, which is why this book goes for boku money, especially now.
Is it the one where he's drunk in the mirror?
No, that doesn't go for that much. It goes for a little bit. I've sold it before.
Oh, okay.
This one I haven't come across because it's pricey. But Drax and Thanos both appeared in their first issue. Good sentence. Words. Invincible Iron Man number 55 in 1972.
That was the first appearance of Thanos?
And Drax.
Wow.
Yeah. And the Brother's Blood. No one cares about them.
They're just an afterthought. Maybe it's valuable because of the Brother's Blood.
Or maybe it wasn't their first appearance. I don't know. I just assumed it was.
Oh.
Might not be. Probably isn't now that I've said it.
Oh, well, wow. Way to be really... What's the word? Accurate?
Well, I found the good ones.
Okay.
Yeah, that book goes, I mean, amazingly enough, after Guardians and then with all the Marvel stuff. Yeah, that book goes for a lot of cash. One of the times I was going to Rhode Island, Dave Bautista was going to be there. I'm like, oh, what if I just snagged this and got it signed? And then, you know, we could jack it up. And then I looked at the price. I'm like, never mind.
I've seen some things, though, that like.
And then he ended up going that year. Like, there was some conflict. So it didn't show up. I'm like, good.
Well, mostly I've like recently been watching some. Pawn Stars.
Yep.
And they say sometimes things that are signed are actually, they devalue a little bit.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah.
But yes, that can be a case.
Like, I think if you had that signed by Dave Bautista, it might devalue it just because of the significant part of that.
No, that would jack that up.
You think so?
100%.
Oh, well, there you go.
Maybe not for everyone, but for, yes, some people, you could definitely. It didn't happen either way.
Yeah. It's fair enough.
Yeah, it all depends on what's done. I mean, if things are personalized, it makes it a lot harder to get through and stuff like that.
Like, to Zach, you'd have to find another Zach to sell it to.
Yeah. And Batman number 442 in 1989, Batman was sad.
He's always sad.
He was going rogue.
He's always going rogue. He's a vigilante. He's rogue by definition.
He just couldn't keep a partner alive. Jason was dead, and he's just a mopey son of a bitch.
Death in the family?
Yeah, that had happened. But that's not what happened in this one.
Okay.
In Batman 442, in 89, the year of Batman, Tim Drake first appeared, the third Robin, the one who would be actually adopted by Batman instead of just being a ward.
Oh, so he'd be like an official ward.
Well, an official son.
Oh.
Because he's adopted.
Okay.
That's how that works.
I don't know. I've never been anyone's ward.
Tim Drake, who decided that Batman was sad and needed a Robin, was able to figure out who Bruce Wayne was, hunted him down. He's like, hey, me.
I choose you.
Basically. And then he became Robin. In Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Johnstown. Don't know where that is.
Oh, I feel like I know where that's in New York. Johnstown. Jamestown.
Can't help you.
Sorry.
In 1927.
Oh, the 20s, see?
Legendary curmudgeon and wonderful creator Steve Ditko was born. Of course, best known for co-creating Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, along with The Question. Also, a well-known recluse for his entire life. Didn't really enjoy working in comics, seemingly.
But he did.
Well, for his entire life. He just didn't like not being able to do what he wanted to do.
You know.
I think, I can't remember what it was. It was a record. It might have been a Christmas record of, like, Stan was going around the entire office, like, he's recording everyone's voice. So, like, here's this, here's that. And then someone goes, look, Ditko just jumped out the window. I mean, it's like a gag just because he was never in there and didn't want to know part of any of the shenanigans.
Wow, that's dark.
Well, just to get away from it.
Hopefully they're
not to die.
Hopefully they're on the first floor.
Because he only passed away, last year or the year before?
Yeah, not long ago.
But yeah, 1927, shaping the superhero world with Spider-Man. And in 1977, a two-hour TV pilot premiered for, let's call it, the first successful superhero show.
Was it Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Not in 1977, no. Oh. Also, that show's terrible.
Lou Ferrigno. No, that's not Lou Ferrigno. It's Captain Lou Albino.
Yes, it was. But this one is Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, The Incredible Hulk. See,
there you go.
I got it figured out. I brought it all together.
I'm just glad you didn't do the Mario. He did that dance in the closing credits of that show.
I know what the Mario is. I'm very aware.
But starring Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, the show went on for 5 seasons, had 4 TV movies. Some of it's pretty good.
Gave us some iconic piano music, the Sad Hulk music.
It is a great theme.
Da, 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 da.
The whole "you wouldn't like me when I'm angry" line.
Well, I mean, would you?
The show itself is pretty good. And of course, famously, the name Bruce Banner wasn't used in the show because the name Bruce was, this is in quotes, too gay.
What?
They didn't use the name Bruce Banner because they thought the name Bruce was too gay.
Interesting. The show seems to have some ghosts, some skeletons in the closet.
But yeah, I mean, and Lou Ferrigno still, he's popping around in superhero movies sometimes. I mean, most recently he was the voice of the Hulk in the Avengers.
Oh, the first Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had Ferrigno in there. Plus a cameo in the Incredible Hulk movie that's very awkward, where they just stop the entire movie for Edward Norton to go, "You're the man."
Wow.
Yeah, it's not great.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'd push that out of memory.
And one of the more important moments in pop culture history, of all pop culture history, happened this week. Under the Moons, the very first John Carter book, was accepted for publication on this date to be split up over in magazine form. But John Carter being the great granddaddy of like most sci-fi. We don't get John Carter, we don't get Star Wars.
Well, I mean, you also wouldn't have gotten Flash Gordon, which then led to
Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, it's a long line, but this is a biggie. And this was back in the year I forgot to write down.
Oh, good job.
Let's say it was the early 1900s.
All right.
1912. You don't need to check. It was 1911. It was 1911. It was accepted for publication. It didn't actually get published until 1912. There we go.
Good job.
Yeah.
I knew that.
I did that. But that's it for this week in comics history. So going from Franklin Richards to the 76ers mascot, Franklin the Dog. He climbs ladders. So impressive. We're moving on to Jared Sports Reports.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. Bare chested. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
It's time for another Jared Sports Report.
I found that one to be bad.
You seen Franklin the Dog? It's a blue dog. He climbs a ladder.
I don't think he's like the actual team mascot, though. He's like an entertainer. They're the 76ers.
They still have the mascot of Franklin the Dog. What do you want from me?
The better segues.
You can look up exciting YouTube clips.
A little more.
Climbing a ladder.
You didn't really sell it the way that you said it. You want an exciting YouTube clip? Look up the clip of the black cat from the Monday Night Football game this week.
I saw that.
Did you see, did you click on, there's Kevin Harlan who works for Westwood One, did play-by-play of the cat.
I heard some of it just because I was clicking around and I was like, people were just filming their TVs.
No, this was like the radio. That was.
Oh, so no, I didn't see that.
Hold on. This is fantastic. I feel like you should enjoy this with me because I enjoyed it. It made my heart smile.
He's walking. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
How exciting was that?
Who lost that game?
The Giants.
Well, I guess we know who's going to have 7 years of bad luck or whatever the black cat one's supposed
to be.
Yeah,
they were winning until the black cat showed up.
Is that true?
Yes.
And also, then, you just spit on my face a little.
I did not. The windshield is here.
What else hit me in the face?
You spit on yourself. You self-spittled.
You're right. I spat straight up in the air, and it landed on my cheek.
It's like it's like challenge pissing.
I'm leaving that. I don't know what that is, but you have to live with that.
Have you ever seen the...
Nope. Just talk about the football stuff.
Well, no, it's a YouTube clip called Big Bill Hell's Autos.
No.
I'm going to have to play it for you after the show.
Stop playing clips.
I said after the show. Anyway, speaking of football, the Patriots took their first loss of the season to the Ravens.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay. It is what it is. You're not going to go undefeated in today's NFL unless you're the handsomest man in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. They're 8-0. Let's see. What else of excitement? Patriots are on the bye week, so there's that. There's the Browns want their coach fired. after all this hype in the preseason about them, I still think the Patriots are a good football team and are going to make a deep playoff run.
Wasn't someone getting fired for, like, making threatening comments on Twitter or something?
Oh, it was a Browns player. He, like, threatened a journalist or something. I don't think he's getting fired. I think he's just getting fined.
Yeah.
And let's see. Celtics, they're playing basketball. Good for them. The Bruins
came back from a 19-point deficit to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Did they go on to win that game?
They did.
So there you go.
And then the game after that was a buzzer beater to beat the Knicks. I couldn't watch it because we didn't have power, but I listened to it on the old-timey radio.
And by old-timey radio, do you mean?
An app.
An app. Yeah, exactly. And on to the Boston Bruins.
98.5 the Sports Hub.
Yes. Boston Bruins, the best record in the NHL, 11-1-2. Although not the most points in the NHL, that's the Capitals. The Capitals have played two more games than the Bruins have. The Bruins have won their last six. They're 8-0-2 over their last 10 games. A plus 21 goal differential. That's pretty impressive. 52 goals in 14 games.
Steph Curry has a broken hand. He's out for 3 months.
We talked about that last week.
Oh, did we? Oh, was that happened that long ago?
It was not that long ago.
Well, we didn't know how long he was going to be out, I don't think. 3 months minimum.
Well, yeah, it's a broken hand.
When all of Australia fell on him.
Well, he's like the Dr. Manhattan of the NBA.
The Warriors, they have no one now, and even Draymond's out with an injury.
Again, all things you said last week.
This wasn't last week. This is new.
Oh, Draymond?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Is it the end of the dynasty?
Yes.
There you go. It's or is it just a year off?
Possibly just that.
There you go.
When they get Clay back. But boy, they are tanking hard.
I don't think that they're tanking on purpose.
No, not on purpose.
So you're misusing the term tanking. Tanking is on purpose.
They might tank now.
It's really early for that.
Just take the year.
Well, remember when everyone a couple years ago when Gordon Hayward got hurt on opening night, like, oh no, and then Kyrie got hurt and we're like, oh no, and they went to a game 7 of an Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I do remember that.
So just saying, it's November 5th. There's a lot of basketball to be played. There's a long way to go to say that, oh, might as well just cancel the season now. Might as well not play for anything. It's a great chance to get young talent reps and see what you have when it comes to stretch time. So I would not count them out.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
I would not count them out.
I will.
All right. Good for you.
I'm already counting them out. Celtics are going on a long road trip, like real early in the season. That's one of their second game on the long road trip. I'm like, oh, thank God, a nice break.
Watch them lose that game. Karma, man.
It happens.
Karma.
Sometimes you lose games you should win.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Is that it?
That's it.
You done trying to cut me off?
Nope.
From basketball.
That's fine. You've shared what you needed to share.
Phoenix Suns still doing well, 5-2.
Who gives a shit about the Phoenix Suns? We live in Maine.
No one, but it's going to be funny. Just they're like second right now or in the West. They also probably won't make the playoffs, but let them enjoy their time in the sun.
Are you done? Their mascot's a gorilla.
I can keep on coming up with stuff. Joel Embiid, 2-game suspension for fighting and shadow boxing.
That was...
fighting Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I know.
Also hilarious on Twitter.
Nate Diaz lost his fight in the bad MF-er, or the BMF belt, to I think it was Jorge Vidal. But Nate Diaz, huge cut over his eye. Did you see any of those pictures?
Didn't.
Okay. I got to show you this. Actually, I don't think it was Vidal he was fighting.
I guarantee we have at least one Phoenix Sun fan Ms. Vidal. To listen to the show.
I was close. How's that for a cut?
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they had to stop the fight because of it.
You think?
I mean, his eyelid was almost falling off.
Yeah, I mean, that thing must have been pouring.
Yes.
All right, is that it for sports?
That's it for sports.
All right, from there, we're going to move on. I guess it's a 10-year anniversary rewatch of a movie adaptation of the most acclaimed graphic novel of all time. We are talking Watchmen.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret. I'm always angry.
It's time for an Editor's Note podcast review.
Glycon.
Yes, Alan Moore. Watchmen, the original graphic novel in 87, written by Alan Moore, art by Dave Gibbons. Supposedly, according to Alan Moore, the unfilmable graphic novel never could be done. He famously hates any adaptation of his work. He's never seen any of it. And if you look at the opening credits to this movie, it'll say based on the graphic novel co-created by Dave Gibbons.
Yeah, he didn't want his name on it.
No, his name's not on it.
But I bet he got a fat royalty check.
I don't know if he did or not. I also don't remember.
Oh, well.
I remember something about that around that time, but, you know, that's a 10-year-old story that I'm not going to bother looking up.
There you go.
The reason we're talking about it now is like it is the year of Watchmen. Watchmen is back on HBO as a sequel TV series. Doomsday Clock has been going on. It hasn't been the year of Watchmen since 2009 when this movie happened, and a prequel comic before Watchmen came out. There was also a video game in 2009 that was downloadable through the PlayStation Store and whatever the Xbox One was called. And as a guy that paid actual cash money for it, it sucked. Terrible game.
Wow.
I'm sure that license is long gone, and I hope you never played it.
Me?
Anyone.
I did not.
It was bad.
Was there Blue Dong in the game?
No. You just got to play as Rorschach or Night Owl.
Oh, wow. Real limited.
Yeah. It also was bad.
Things don't end well for Rorschach.
No, they don't. This movie was directed by Zack Snyder, another comic book movie from Zack Snyder, from a guy who I don't think actually likes comics.
Well, you had 300 in this.
He was coming hot off of 300. And actually, if you go back to one of the 300 trailers, I couldn't tell you which one, but that was your first image of Rorschach when they're doing like quick flashes of stuff. There was a still of Rorschach in test footage in that trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
This movie was made, it had been bounced around basically since Watchmen was a thing. The guy who got closest to making it before Zack Snyder was Terry Gilliam of
Monty Python fame. Yeah. Interesting.
And 12 Monkeys. I almost called it 5 Monkeys. I was a few monkeys short.
Yeah, 7.
No, he didn't do 7.
You were 7 monkeys short.
I know.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Oh, God, no.
Gwyneth Paltrow said was the answer.
Yeah. Oh, found Miss Potts.
Yeah. But Zack Snyder said that he did this supposedly to save it from the Terry Gilliam version so someone would do it right.
But he changed the ending.
He did change the ending. There are also 3 versions of this movie, technically. There's a theatrical release, the director's cut, which is the one you watched.
Oh, that was long.
Well, there's a longer cut.
Oh, really? Is it the Dr. Manhattan cut?
In the book Watchmen, if you've read it, you probably have.
I skimmed it.
Yeah.
Ish.
Intercut with the Watchmen story was also Tales of the Black Freighter, a story within a story, another comic book within there. Not only was there just a straight animated version of Tales of the Black Freighter released, there was also the Ultimate Edition that interspliced Tales of the Black Freighter like it was in the comic. And I am going to say very definitively, do not watch that version.
What's the runtime on that?
3.5 hours.
Wow.
Also, it's not good.
Okay.
It's the director's cut just with that extra, like, half hour, 40 minutes of footage, and it is jarring. It's not cut. There's no way. Zack Snyder said it himself. He's like, we really couldn't do it well, so we didn't really try. And boy, it's a tough watch.
Mm.
Gerard Butler's in there as the voice of whatever the stranded guy is in that, but holy hell, it is. You just want to press skip every time it pops up. Not recommended. Also, the animated version is just pretty boring. And also at the same time, oh yeah, this was a Watchmen heavy year. They also released Watchmen as a motion comic.
Oh, were they like an audiobook almost?
Where they kind of, well, they'll take panels and they'll animate stuff and they'll have actors come in and do the dialogue.
Huh.
There are some good ones out there. This is not one of them. This is also terrible, and never check it out. Unless you find like a YouTube clip of it to just confirm and go, yeah, it's not very good.
Well, I mean, Alan Moore said it. This is supposed to be unadaptable to any other medium than comic book.
All right. Now that I've given all of my Watchmen the movie history.
Yes?
Your thoughts.
I found it easier to digest the movie than the book. But also, you made me read the book as like my second ever comic book.
It was fourth ever.
Whatever. I was still very thick. I still don't know if I could get through it today.
It takes time.
Yeah.
You got to sit with it.
Like, I couldn't do it in a week.
No, it's kind of tough to do.
Yeah. We learned that the hard way.
Well, I mean, I can do it. I read it a bunch of times.
Well, but yeah. I really liked some of the shots. The opening sequence is was my favorite part, probably, or one of my favorite parts. It didn't shy.
Fight?
What?
The fight?
No, just the whole, like, opening credits.
Yeah, the credits are great.
It was a great piece of exploitation.
Exposition.
Whatever.
Exploitation.
It exploited me to be exposed to the things that had happened.
Yeah, I love those opening credits. A great Bob Dylan track, and then you're just getting these flashes of all the Minutemen.
Mm.
Also the JFK assassination.
By the comedian.
Yeah.
Oops.
Which is funny, because before Watchmen came out after this, and they explicitly say he didn't do it. But whatever, it's two different things.
Yeah. I mean, you can't take it as like the gospel of what actually happened in the Watchmen comic book.
No, but it's pretty close. There's a lot of panel-for-panel shots.
Yes, like Rorschach on the window where the comedian was thrown out of.
Yeah, that's a confusing scene, though. Just one part of it. Because he's up in the window, and there's not supposed to be too much supernatural in this world, although this movie definitely pushes it in that direction a little bit.
Well, I mean, Dr. Manhattan.
Aside from him, but there's a cop standing there, and he takes four shots at Rorschach point blank.
And misses.
All four times. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Little do we know that he's an offspring of a stormtrooper.
Like, that scene just doesn't make a damn bit of sense. But yeah, like that opening stuff with the comedian fighting Ozymandias, that's the first kind of hint, and you get more of it later on, like when Silk Spectre and Night Owl are fighting. Like, these are supposed to, in Alan Moore's version, just supposed to be people.
Yeah.
They're a bit more than that in the movie.
Oh, yeah, they're...
I think to add some flash to it. Well, I was saying they were stronger. Yes, they also had sex in the comic, as you were implying with some hand gestures.
They also had sex in the movie.
Yeah, for a long time. That's a long scene.
Yeah, and when he hits the button and shoots fire.
Yes, the orgasm button, yeah. To Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Weird music choice.
Yes. Zack Snyder does know how to shoot a love scene, though. Think about that one, the one in 300. His love scenes go on forever.
Yeah, that one's long, too.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's exactly what it needs to be.
Yes. I thought, it's not my favorite movie. It's not my favorite superhero comic book movie, but...
A lot of people hate this movie.
It's very dark. It's not what you're looking for. It goes for the R.
Yeah.
It's very much a hard R.
Yeah, even more so the director's cut. There was more violent stuff, like all the stuff with the knot tops or top knots, whatever they're called. Whichever one is the Nazi version.
Yeah.
I always mix them up. The real life one and the Nazi version in Watchmen.
Yes.
Is it a top knot in real life, or is it top knot in Watchmen? Or is it not top that's the bad one? I mean, it's a bad hairstyle, but...
You mean man bun?
You can still have... Whatever. It's all bad hairstyle.
Yes. Behind tight. That's the way to go.
But... Yeah, this movie does change some stuff. Like, the Watchmen were never one. There's no one actually called the Watchmen in Watchmen. That's not the point of the title. It wasn't the name of a superhero team.
No.
So that's a bit of a change. Hey, you know who is the villain in this? The incredibly obvious villain?
Yes.
Wow, that was telegraphed. If you hadn't read the book before, scene one with Ozymandias.
Yeah, it's him.
Ah, that one.
Ozymandias is a bad guy.
The very obvious villain. Casting. Two of them, I think, are pitch perfect. Getting Jackie Earle Haley as Rorschach.
Who was one of the only people who had read the comic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. I did a little research, too.
He's great. He is perfect.
Well, he wanted that role. Like, he was all about being...
Who else could you get? I can't imagine anyone else doing that as well as he did.
No, I thought, you're not locked in. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
I mean, he has the look, he has the voice, he has everything. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the comedian is also perfect. He's great. Terrible, terrible person.
Oh, yeah.
The character, just to be clear, but...
He's not funny.
No.
A comedian died in New York City.
Yeah. I guess we'll get that Pagliacci thing. Like, yeah, I get it. But, I mean, he's perfect. The rest of them, you know, take him or leave him. They're all fine. None of them are bad, but those two are perfect casting.
Yes. I always felt like, in some ways, like Dr. Manhattan was like a more powerful, harder to access version of Mr. Fantastic. Maybe that's just me.
I mean, he's way stronger.
Yeah, that's why I said more powerful, but less accessible.
I like the way they do time in this movie, with like going through like his kind of what would have been an issue with the book of how he perceives time. I like that segment of the movie.
Yeah.
In his giant Mars castle.
That's a pretty sweet place he's got there.
And also, this is a pretty great soundtrack. I'm just thinking about it. Like, Jimi Hendrix, originally a Bob Dylan one, but Hendrix did it better, and Dylan said so himself. That's a great tune, All Along the Watchtower. Yes.
Dave Matthews Band also does a good version of that.
Don't know if I've heard it.
It's not bad. I like it.
Is it Hendrix good?
It's not Hendrix. You can't compare the two. Like, Hendrix is in a league of his own.
Of course you can compare the two if it's the same song. Those are two things that are comparable.
Different style choices.
So still comparable.
Fair enough.
You're literally saying, this is two versions of the same thing. Which one do you like better? Well, you can't compare those two things. They're very different. No, they're the same.
Whatever. Depends on my mood. But the ending, let's talk about the ending. The ending is different in that Ozymandias does not bring down the space octopus.
Yeah, no giant squid made by like novelists and comic book writers and like with scientists.
Yeah, no, he just blows up a city.
Blows up a lot of them.
Yeah, and blames it on Dr. Manhattan.
I understand the choice. I really do. And I think for the movie, it was probably the right choice. But I still would have liked to have seen a giant space squid.
Yes.
Is that just... I mean, in the book, it does come out of nowhere, but I feel like in the movie, people wouldn't be able to suspend their disbelief for that in that moment, despite like seeing all the crazy Dr. Manhattan stuff.
Well, and also, like, especially, you've already forced them to believe that stuff, and you're like, kind of like, this is a pretty normal world, and all of a sudden, there's a space alien squid.
Look how this movie tries to convince me that Patrick Wilson isn't in great shape.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, he's a real schlub. He gained a little bit of weight for this, but...
What a lard ass.
Yeah. Oh, man. So out of shape. Not really.
I wonder if it, like, I don't know. I feel like what I watched felt, like, drawn out with the director's cut. Probably just rather watch the theatrical cut. But, again, I don't know what was gained or lost in that, so...
I only saw the theatrical one once, and that was in theaters. I know, like, all the extra stuff with Hollis Mason, I remember that, like, his whole death and all that stuff was... put in specifically for the director's cut, but beyond that I don't really remember, because like I saw it once in theaters and that's the only time I saw that cut.
I thought that the
so it's hard to go off of that memory.
The CG and like how they rendered Dr. Manhattan was really good. It was believable. It fit in.
Yeah, the way
the color tones of the movie,
the way they did that to make his kind of glowiness work is they put him in a bodysuit, but then they kind of covered him with essentially Christmas lights.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
There were that shade, so that's why that light interacts well with the rest of the world. It makes it look as believable as a naked blue man is going to look.
Yeah. Also, that's part of the reason why that movie was not going to be made until now-ish. You would have had to like paint somebody blue.
No, it wouldn't have worked as well. And that scene, I love that score when he dies and comes back. That's a bit of great music, too. Good soundtrack with this one.
Mm.
But that's a great shot, like when like the fork starts to like shift and he just comes back. That's awesome. That's a great shot.
Yeah, Zack Snyder does some good stuff. Who was it? Speaking of Zack Snyder, I think it was Jason Momoa said he saw the Snyder cut of Justice League.
Oh God, I wish if he said that, I wish he hadn't.
Yes.
Don't need to rile that up again.
But he said people should see it. It's way different.
I'm sure it is different. Who knows? It'll never see the light of day.
Oh, it will. It totally will.
No, no way in hell. Because it's going to be totally unfinished effects-wise, and considering how much money Justice League lost, they're not going to spend more money on a movie that already lost them a bunch of cash.
Okay.
They're not going to double down, like, how much more money can we lose?
Why
it
not?
It doesn't make any financial sense to go back and totally add effects to a cut that some people will get on streaming.
Yeah, good point.
No, it's never going to happen. Releasing the Snyder cut would be like watching Ben Affleck just walk in front of a green screen for a while.
I'd pay money for that.
Yeah.
But I'm weird.
Yeah, that's a terrible movie. I don't like Batman v Superman. But I do really like Watchmen. A lot of people hate it, but I'm on board for it, totally.
I would say it's definitely worth a rewatch.
Yeah, I like to pop it in every now and then. It's totally enjoyable. I like the lighting of it. It has a good aesthetic. I think it's weird seeing... the little person that Rorschach kills just because it's Mickey from Seinfeld. And when I just sort of see him, I'm like, oh, it's Mickey from Seinfeld.
He dead.
Yeah. Which is just because, some people you see them in a thing and that just locks them in your brain. Because this movie, it has established actors, but there's no one that I would necessarily be like, oh, I remember you specifically from this. It's like, oh, they're actors. This,
yeah.
But him, he was just so memorable as Mickey. I'm like, Mickey.
Mickey's dead.
Those are some great lines when he's killing his thugs. And actually, I love that shot when he's going to go kill him and you have the door just swinging back and forth. You just see him getting closer and closer. I think this is a well-made movie.
Yeah, I mean, Snyder can make a good film. He does action well.
And they did Sucker Punch after this, and that is terrible.
Okay, so 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, he also did the remake of Dawn of the Dead, which is fine. Not a movie that needed to be remade, but it's a fine remake. 300 is exactly what it needs to be. This is good, and I don't think I've liked anything he's done since this. But,
that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Sucker Punch, Batman v Superman, Justice League. To be fair, I've seen them all. Well, what are you going to do?
Keep watching.
Hey, if he's made a couple good movies, then it's more than most people get to make.
It's more than you've made.
It's true. I also didn't make Justice League, so.
That's also true.
That's a positive in my box.
Yay!
For comparing things.
I suppose so. Apples and oranges.
I made a podcast making fun of it, and aren't those two the same thing with the same amount of effort?
One actually like had value monetarily. The other is Justice League. All right. On to letters?
I guess. Watchmen. Worth watching. Again.
Watchmen. Watch the Watchmen. Who watches the Watchmen?
I don't know. I'm not watching that new show because I don't have HBO.
Oh. Well, there you go.
So I have no opinion of the new show. And Doomsday Clock, I can barely remember. So Year of Watchmen, baby. It's the year of the Watchmen.
Yes.
All right, moving on to letters.
A lot of questions, number one. Damn few answers.
Here's another one of your letters to the editors.
Make it so.
If you want your own questions answered here, live on the show, so live it gets edited later on to take out all of the ums and awkward pauses.
That's what we live on, ums and awkward pauses.
And when you're leading the conversation, it's a lot of ums.
And when you lead it, there's a lot of awkward pauses.
But if you want to write us your own question, editorsnotecomics@gmail.com. This week's question.
Yes.
I don't know why I announced it like that.
It was very aggressive.
Hey, this week's question.
Okay, that's
coming
just,
in hot, hot, hot.
That's obnoxious.
What are your theories on how Emperor Palpatine will come back in Rise of Skywalker? Had to think of the movie name.
What if Palpatine, what if Rey is a manifestation of Palpatine?
She could be. There was a Star Wars comic not that long ago that flat out said that Anakin was made through Palpatine.
Yeah.
That he's the one that used the Force to impregnate Shmi or whatever her name was.
Yes, it was Shmi.
Shmi. The pirate from Hook.
But there was... Wow. That's... Yeah. No, it's Shmi. There's a difference.
Pirate from Hook with a lisp.
That would be Shmi. No, I mean, what if she is, like... What if she was conceived by the Force through Palpatine, like, Force ghostiness, and Kylo Ren kills her?
I don't think...
Or she overcomes the battle within and sees the light and effectively ends the dark side.
I don't think she's going to... I don't think they're going to go back on the parentage thing. That would feel weird to go from, like, your parents were just drunken nobodies to, never mind, it was the Emperor himself. Like, that just feels like...
Well, no,
we're just jerking you around at that point. And that's just J.J. Abrams.
Her parents could be nobodies, and the Emperor made a child within them. Think about, but we saw other Force users at the end of Last Jedi.
Yeah, I don't think it would feel too weird to feel like to kind of walk back what had just happened.
I think he's just going to be a Force ghost, to be honest.
Well, we see that chair that he's probably in, where it looks like it has all this like mechanical crap like going into him, so he could just be super messed up. That's one option.
Okay, but how would be my question? The Death Star blew up.
I have a theory. I might have brought this up before, but it's going off of the comics. And
he blew up. He got thrown down the reactor shaft.
Well, this is going off of a recent Vader comic that was explaining how Darth Vader built his fortress and the why of it. Like, why he built it on Mustafar.
Yeah, to remind him everything that happened, everything he lost, to be perpetually moody.
No, it was because he was told that if he built his fortress there, that there was a way to access life beyond death, and he might be able to resurrect Padme.
Oh.
So he's going about doing this, and it keeps on not working. He, like, builds up the castle, tears it down, builds it up, tears it down. It's not working. He's getting all
built up the castle, fell down, burnt over, and then sank into the swamp.
Yeah. Essentially, yes. That's exactly what happened many times, but in lava.
Yeah. Well, that's why it burned down.
But he's getting all this information about how to build it. He builds it up, and there was this helmet from an old Sith Lord who had kept his essence in there, and he's been the one kind of like feeding Vader all this information. Basically, once they opened up that portal, he was able to, and someone put the helmet on, he was able to bring himself back to life. So
was it like lighting the black flame candle in Hocus Pocus?
I don't know that movie well enough to tell you.
That's when the kid who's a virgin lights the black flame candle and it brings
the
witches
the movie
back.
That's all obsessed with your virginity.
Not my virginity.
No, not specifically yours.
Well, the way you said it made it sound like the movie was written about me being a virgin.
Hang on, I have a treatment.
Wait a minute. Stand by. A virgin in 1993.
But going off of that Vader one, we have some potential precedent here. And since the movies have been taking more stuff from the comics and the TV shows, what do we have left of Vader?
Well, he got burned.
Yeah, but we have one specific thing left of him.
Luke?
A helmet.
Ah.
And not only do we have a helmet.
It's a helmet that talks.
It is a helmet that talks. Kylo Ren has been communicating with him, thinking it was Vader, what it's the Emperor all along. And my other way to back this up is we see as he's getting tossed down that shaft, he is blasting Vader with lightning. Like, we like see him light up and we have all this crap going into his body. What if he put his essence into at least part of Vader's suit with like weird Sith crap and it's still in that helmet?
I don't know if I like that explanation.
I thought I might have taken some.
No, I mean, I understand.
I've taken some empirical steps based on evidence that we have before.
I'm just.
Look, I think he's in the helmet. I never, because it doesn't even make sense for Vader to be telling him like evil things.
Especially since he went back to the light at the end.
Yeah, so that doesn't, he's been communicating with someone. Maybe it was Snoke, but my guess is it's going to be the Emperor.
I like to think Force Ghost Emperor. And he's going to try and use someone's body and possess it.
We also don't know if he's physically back. We're just assuming.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking Force Ghost.
But they can't come back. Sith can't come back. That's why they're afraid of death.
They're afraid of everything.
Well, they try and prolong life.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
It could also just be a clone. We know he's all about clones. He had a whole army of them. You might remember from that movie.
Yes.
Attack of the Clones.
What a great movie.
Worst movie out there. Worst Star Wars movie out there.
What a fantastic movie. A piece of cinematic awesome.
I mean, his body could have just been retrieved and it's all messed up. That's why it looks like there's that like weird mechanical crap.
Again, how is his body retrieved?
I don't know.
The Death Star blew up. He got thrown down a reactor shaft. He got...
Well, guess what? There's a bunch of pieces of the Death Star on this planet. We saw that thing get
vaporized. He blew up and you saw the blue gas of him flying away. So maybe his essence is in the suit. I don't know.
I think it might be in the helmet. It might be a clone thing. It could just be a hologram.
Oh, like a Fortress of Solitude.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm not even totally sold on my own helmet theory, because we know that was with the First Order. And I imagine if they're going to the second Death Star for something, it's probably something Emperor related. So I don't even know. I don't even fully buy
Kyber crystals.
Theory. Why would those be on the Death Star?
Because remember, that's what powered it?
No.
Yeah, Rogue One.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were there for that crap.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. But I don't know. I mean, they have to be there for something related to the Emperor.
Yes.
Like, there's a reason that we see that throne room or whatever it would be called. His office.
His office. You need to see the Emperor in his office, please. I think that in the end, Kylo and Ren are both on the light side.
I don't know. I feel like he's killed Han and Luke. It's too many kills.
Technically, he didn't kill Luke. Luke exhausted himself.
He didn't help.
But he didn't kill Luke. Luke made the choice.
I think he's had too many chances.
Oh, yeah, he's probably dead.
Although I did, the second him and Rey started fighting those guards, I was like, yeah, get him, do it together.
It's true.
I turned so fast.
They suckered us in.
Because it was a cool fight.
It was.
It's a great fight. So I guess if he has a cool fight, I'll get on his side.
What if he's having a cool fight with Rey?
They had a fight once. It was fine. Wasn't that spectacular. It
looks like they fight again.
Yes, it looks like it because we've seen it specifically in the trailers.
Just throwing that out there.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
I was rewatching that stuff just because I'm kind of getting hyped for the movie. I was watching that, and it feels like we're being billed like that's the end of the movie. What if it's the opener? What if, like,
they're both at the Death Star for some reason?
What if that's, like, our crawl? Our crawl says, like, they need to go to... this thing for whatever.
Rey, to rebuild the lightsaber, needs kyber crystals.
Maybe some. No, because she has it. She's fighting with it on top of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
What if you pan down to the forest moon of Endor and the ocean?
I don't know. Just talking out of my ass now. I know nothing.
That'd be interesting. If that's the start of the movie, then wow.
Because I feel like the end is going to be, I mean, we see like them running around like space horses on top of Star Destroyers and all that stuff. And Lando going around. I mean, maybe they're down on the planet while all that space stuff is happening, but...
I think it opens on Tatooine.
It might.
Because we haven't been to Tatooine in a long time. Or we're back on whatever that planet was.
Jakku. I don't know, and I don't have a good theory for this either. I've thought about it. I'm like, I don't know what would be the thing to do this. But Kevin Smith had visited the set, and I guess a bunch of like crew people told him, like, you know, that closed set over there, that's where the last shot of the movie is. And he asked JJ about it. He's like, yeah, it is, but don't go in there because it will spoil everything for you. Like, it's the set is so, like, crazy, it will melt your mind. Like, what set would be so crazy to close out Star Wars that it would melt my mind?
I don't want my mind melted.
Because I'm not going to get that excited about, like, a moisture farm. And we've already seen the Falcon. I mean, what set would... Now I'm just asking my own questions. We moved on from the listener question. Now I have my own.
What if it's, like the Force? You're inside the Force.
But how would you build that as a set? And how would that be like, don't go in there because it's a major spoiler and don't spoil it for yourself?
I mean, I don't know why you're not excited about a moisture farm.
We've seen it. It's not exciting.
It's got to be something that we've seen before. Otherwise, it doesn't tie.
Yeah, I know. But what would be like a set so crazy? Maybe Princess Leia is running Jabba's palace. She sits in the big chair now.
It's the Rancor. It was him all along. Watch it be Jar Jar.
He's not going to be in this.
Are we going back to Naboo?
Maybe, but there's nothing in there that I'd be really that emotionally connected to.
Anyway, if you like the show,
So we have no idea on the set. I guess that's where we're
anyhow.
Yeah, I guess that's it. We're done. We don't know. What do we know about Star Wars? Nothing.
I do know about this, though. It's called patreon.com/editorsnotecomics. $1 a month gets you this show a day early. Plus, it also gets you spoiler and spoiler-free reviews of Buffy, Angel, and Firefly. But that's exclusive. All that really does.
Yeah, exclusive. They ain't going anywhere else.
No. Only you can have the power of the exclusive Patreon podcast.
Because I'm way more honest in those, and they're not ones that I want to put out for the creators to hear.
Wow, what if the creators start, you know, paying money for the Patreon?
Then I think they're going to retract that dollar pretty fast.
Well, at least you'll have had that dollar. One more dollar than you had. Plus, you can go to Editor's Note Comics, 210 Water Street in Hollowell. Anything exciting going on here to start off November?
No, not really. I'm trying to think if there's anything exciting in November. Probably not for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay, well.
Maybe some excitement in a little bit.
Oh, really?
Well, we're coming up on Black Friday.
Small Business Saturday.
Or for me, I'll just do the whole week.
Oh, wow.
Why am I telling people now? Things are happening.
Well, Thanksgiving is only a couple of weeks away. Three.
And how.
Yeah. I love it. My favorite holiday.
We all know.
Yes. I'll be celebrating it all month. You can also visit online, editorsnotecomics.com, plus Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok.
The Instagram one is basically a lie now.
No. Oh, well,
it's basically Facebook and Twitter.
And TikTok.
I've never seen that. You explained it to me once.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
But there you go.
And you're on Twitter.
At Junior Rich.
Next week. Oh, speaking of Star Wars, if this works out right, I'll explain to you how we're going to do this.
Oh, boy.
Disney Plus drops next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Which means The Mandalorian is going to drop that day.
Uh-huh.
So I think we're going to have to watch it and then record immediately. As long as they drop it early enough in the day. If they're like, we're dropping it at 9 o'clock, I'll be like, then we're doing something else.
All right. Here we go.
More Star Wars.
Bye. Stay classy, Space Cats.
God damn, I almost hit the button.